Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 60 of 6 Point Weekend. We have a lot to cover. 6 points, no. 6 goals, yes. We'll get to that. Jonathan here, sitting next to me. Ebony.
Hello.
Dave.
What's up?
Joining us, special guest Zach.
Hi.
Is he a special guest anymore? He's been on quite a bit.
It's amazing when you like change your jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
Become more available.
I mean, you worked yourself from a minute to a full guest appearance.
Yeah.
Who keeps giving him a mic? God damn. Whatever.
Moving up in the world. Well, we are currently recording here in the middle of August. It is restaurant week in downtown Raleigh. So because of that, even though the food is quite good, Ebony, still mad at you for not getting curry ketchup, we cannot record at London Bridge Pub today. But instead, Ebony, where are we today?
We're at Tasty Beverage Company, who we're also bought by right here in downtown Raleigh. It's sour beer season. As Zach likes to point out, there are dark sours, though. For all your enjoyment. Ooh. The one he has right now, he's been high praising for like the last couple of hours. So he got a second one, so I don't know the name of it, but oh well. But they have everything you would need right here. Stop by. Tell them 6 Point Weekend sent you. Get a nice high five because we're still working on koozies. We're brought to you by London Bridge Pub, who is in the middle of restaurant week. Shout out to them.
There's a shepherd's pie on the menu.
Yeah, there is. And there's like this really good pudding, apparently, that I cannot wait to try later this week. Mm-hmm. We're still brought to you by the Beautiful Game Network, BGN.FM. And we're still friends of the pod on Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Hashtag SNST fam.
Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, all of those good things. That's not me at the end, but whatever. And because Justin still pays us, 6 Point Weekend is brought to you by Sour Beers, the perfect treat to beat the summer heat.
Yes.
I personally prefer to go with ciders this time of year.
I had that cider.
That's a good cider.
Well.
I've got a Blake's Hard Cider Traffic Jam.
It was really good.
Which is quite tasty.
Yeah. So.
So shout out to the folks here at Tasty for hooking us up.
Yeah. Awesome. So it's a perfect treat to beat the summer heat. Summer's almost over. I'm really not happy about that.
Which means the season is almost over.
Season is almost over, and somebody's career is almost over. Very sad, but also very excited for Austin Deleuze, who has announced his retirement. The Rail Hawk, now Dead Whale, spent some time in MLS with New York Red Bull. And who was the second club?
DC United.
DC United.
Didn't stay in DC for long.
Right.
But he's been all over, and he's done a lot of amazing things. And the game will miss him, but North Carolina will hopefully still see him in some capacity. I know he said he doesn't want to coach, but I'm happy to see him still in North Carolina doing his thing, hopefully on an activist side.
He said he wanted to stay in the Triangle.
Yeah.
And start a family.
All of this information you can find in the article written by Neil Morris.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to @byNeilMorris. For the great piece that he wrote on Austin Deleuze.
And an amazing image.
Yes. Yes, it's great.
Let that water fountain live forever. Can we take that water fountain to the new stadium? Yeah.
Yes, please.
Please. Just please.
So 8 seasons for the Railhawks and NCFC and 175 matches so far.
He won a championship with Orlando City B right before they moved up to MLS.
They were still Orlando City
at
that point, I believe.
Yeah, they were still Orlando City.
They weren't B.
There
was no A.
It's just a habit. I'm so sorry. He assisted Thierry Henry in that 3-3 draw for Red Bulls. So that's always – he's an all-around good guy. So happy for our good friend. Can't wait to see what you do next, man. Congrats on a great season, on a great
career.
Setting
up Thierry Henry is a pretty good day.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
This is not to mention his off-the-field work.
Right.
Yeah.
Playing for pride.
Playing for one of the biggest ones he's done. He's very active in the political community and the sometimes social community as well, with some of his activism and his work, amazing work that he does off the field. And I don't think that goes away with his retirement. I think it just heightens it even more, and he gets more involved, which I'm so happy to see, because he's like in my Twitter post, I said he's the voice of the people, and he's been one of my active voices for a long time. So I don't know, like I can't praise the guy enough. Yeah. Like
he's a club legend.
Yeah,
right. I think for anybody who's been around this club for any amount of time, like, you've probably heard about what Austin Deleuze means to the people around the club or just how he is on the field. I don't know. Like, I had words earlier today that I thought about. I can't remember what they are now. But it's more along the lines of, like, personally just want to thank Austin for everything that he's done for this club. And also, you mentioned playing for Pride. Is this, you know, like, being an athlete, working in athletics, like, athletics should be for everybody, right? And for him to champion that cause, it's very important to me. And I'm very glad that he's been able to do something about it. It's very dope. I love it.
And also just the fact that he has been so good with the fans over the years and so good with the supporters. Of course, he has that iconic photo of him jumping into the crowd. I think that was
OCS year one.
Yeah, OCS year one. And then there was also one moment that Jared Campbell, the founder of Triangle Soccer Fanatics, mentioned where after a particularly tough loss, pretty much all of the players went into the locker room except for Austin. He made a point of coming over and thanking the fans for coming out and for doing their part. So it's one thing that we'll always remember with Austin. And next season, Austin, if you're listening, feel free to come stomp with us.
Yeah, I mean, I came into soccer roughly about the time that Playing for Pride started, and it may sound a little corny, but like I think that's part of the reason why it kind of stuck with me was Playing for Pride and Austin's the way he goes about it. It goes about on the field and off the field, and he's just very inspiring and does really good work, and I don't know, it kind of helped me find my love for soccer. So he's a great guy.
So to our captain, thank you. We can't wait to see you continue to light it up on the field for these last couple of months, these last few games. There's only one Austin Deleuze.
And only one.
There's only, one. Gonna be, there's only going to be one, and I wouldn't want to replace him with anyone else. So now that that's kind of out the way, let's talk the win we had this week with NCFC and the Deadwells.
Yes, indeed. A 2-1 win.
Yes,
at Memphis.
Deadwells win 2-1, score all three goals.
Yes. Nasby has been freed.
Hashtag freed Nas.
I don't think that was an own goal in Memphis.
It was
considered an own goal.
I think it's credited to the Memphis player, but DJ kicked that in.
Yeah.
DJ volleyed that one in.
DJ had the final touch. I don't care what the records say. Like, it was very clear that DJ had the final touch on that before going over the line.
Yeah. And he volleyed it really well.
Oh, so good. How are own goals so good?
It's just so beautiful.
Just need him to do that on the other end.
Yeah.
NCFC fam scored six goals.
Six goals this weekend. Lord have mercy. But yeah, we win 2-1. I forgot. Who had the first goal?
That would be Donovan Awolo,
yes,
who had the first goal in the 45th minute.
Right before halftime.
Crazy bicycle.
I believe Neil called it the rusty bicycle kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was the Ephus bicycle, because he basically reached a foot out like as far as he could and kicked that thing up in the air. And he got a little bit lucky.
Yes.
I mean, a better goalkeeper, I think, would have come up and caught that thing.
Yeah.
But no one really knew where it was going. And the fact that Nas was actually getting under it,
yeah,
ready to make a play on it, probably distracted the goalkeeper enough that it just bounced through his legs, I believe, and into goal.
Yeah.
So it was, Nas didn't even have to get a touch on it.
I don't think he ended up getting a touch on
it.
He didn't. Yeah. No. In all the replays I saw, he didn't get a touch on it. But bigger news, Comsia's back.
Oh, yeah, that was huge. Like, I was watching the match, and all of a sudden, you know, and there's Alex Comsia. Oh, this is great.
Healthy backline, what is that?
What?
Reunited, and it feels so good.
You never know what you don't have until it's not there, and mm-hmm. God, I missed you so much, Comsia.
And really, aside from that one goal that we gave up, the defense was pretty strong in this game. There was a couple of moments on either side where the woodwork was touched.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's fair.
Other than that, I felt like the defensive performance definitely improved with Comcy on the lineup.
Definitely. It's a noticeably different defense with him.
But no Perez. No Perez in the lineup.
Yeah. Maybe he just needed an extra week after coming back. I mean, he ran a full 90.
Yeah.
The previous week.
So Duvernay got to run out there a little bit and play a little bit more. So that, I mean, it was a fine, I was okay with the lineup a little bit. So I didn't get to watch that game, but I did get to watch the Courage game. So
credit to Alex Tambakis as well. Another good performance by him.
Yeah.
A big save.
That's early in the second half. Amazing saves.
He's so good.
Yeah.
So a big save early in the second half. The goal that was scored after that was disallowed because it very blatantly came off a Memphis player's arm.
Yeah.
Even the announcers were the first to notice that.
Oh, man, the announcers. Let's not.
Yeah, because when Nas scored.
Hold on. Before we get to being mad.
Let's talk about that goal.
Good gracious. First of all, the great trap by Spies just set the ball up and Nas didn't even think about it. Just, all right, curl it. And I remember I showed the goal to my parents the next day. My mom was like, oh, no, right over his hand. I'm like, no, it was out of his reach. Like, his hand was here and the ball was like another 6 inches past him, like nailed to the top corner. Like Martin Luther's 95 theses.
On target.
Wow.
The last time we witnessed Nas score a goal like that in a game involving NCFC, I remember sitting at London Bridge Pub. Stephen Malik, owner of NCFC, was standing behind me and was also standing behind our friend Sterling.
Oh, man. Oh, God, I remember this.
Who immediately jumped up and shouted, "Why the fuck didn't we sign him this year?"
I remember that so much. Oh, man. There was a lot at play, so I appreciate Nas getting
I just took a look back at Stephen Malik, and yeah, Mr. Malik was not touching that one with a 10-foot pole.
No.
Hashtag free to Nas.
Hashtag free to Nas.
Don't worry,
yada,
Sterling.
Yada, yada, yada. It all worked out.
Yes.
Don't worry, Sterling. Nas has
back.
Been freed.
Nas is back. He has left Cincinnati.
He
and now he's scoring those goals. For us,
he had to go pull his Austin and go to another team that's on its way up to MLS and then come back to the home team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the goal was scored by DJ Nas Al-Dabawi.
Announcers, do better.
Al-Dawawi. I think that's what it was. Al-Dawawi. Yes.
That made me mad.
Oh, that was frustrating. Yeah.
And that field
was
horrible.
Because, like, it's my job, and I'm like, if I can research, you can research.
Yeah.
But, fantastic late winner, and they just held to form. I mean, the defense, like you mentioned, defense was great. Tambakis was great. Locked up 3 points, which are very important, because we're now even in the standings with Indy. However, Indy does have the games in hand. We have actually a couple games in hand on just about everybody around us right now.
Well, let's actually take a look at this table right now because there's most of the teams here are on 23 games played so far. So top of the table right now, New York Red Bulls 2, 47 points.
Because Tampa Bay lost to Birmingham.
That's right.
Birmingham's on this wave.
Yeah.
Oh,
Birmingham's making that little push.
Yeah.
I think there was a post on Reddit that they've gone like 400 and something minutes without conceding a goal.
Yeah.
Get those defenders on your USL fantasy team.
I don't know the exact numbers, but it's
they're
a
out there.
Does that include our match?
Yes.
Yes,
yes it does.
Well,
yeah.
So, New York Red Bulls on top with 40, Red Bulls 2 on top with 47 points. Tampa Bay is second, 46 points.
Yep.
Nashville in third with 42.
Yeah.
Indy 11, officially in fourth with 40 points. They have, I think, one more win than we do.
They do, and they have the tiebreaker because they beat us.
Yes, and they also have 3 games in hand.
God damn.
Yeah.
They've only played 20 games so far, which means there is a good chance that they will be in the title hunt before this whole thing is over.
Yeah, they're sitting in a really good position.
So NCFC right now, fifth with 40 points. Pittsburgh Riverhounds right behind us with 38 points. They
who
have
we,
two games in hand.
And we play them on Saturday.
And we play them on Saturday. They are also playing Red Bulls 2 on Wednesday.
Let's go, baby Bulls.
It's a tough stretch.
Yeah, that's a lot of games
and
in a short amount of time.
And then you've got Louisville underneath them with 36 points, and Ottawa, who have two games in hand themselves, they are on 33 points. So they're still very much in the playoff picture as well.
So here's the thing. Like, we're looking around at the playoff picture. Like, we can actually still look up. We have 11 matches left in the season,
yes.
Right? So 11 matches, I guess, is a 34. Both Tampa and Baby Bulls have the same number of matches to go. We're 6 points off of Tampa. We're 7 points off of first. We can still chase that with 11 matches to go. Plus, we still have Tampa to play.
And we're playing Tampa here.
Exactly.
After we beat them in their house.
Yes.
We still have Red Bulls at home.
Yes, we do. That's towards the end of the season.
It's almost September. We're still talking about a title hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm having fun.
Having a lot of fun.
So we've got the Riverhounds coming up this Saturday.
Yeah.
At Wake Med Soccer Park.
Free t-shirt, by the way. First 1,800 fans.
He threw
Dave off. I'm going to have to talk to my man Jeff about scheduling Dirt Cheap Blues in August like that. Bad enough that I have to, like, work my way around the ICC now, but now I'm also going to miss a game as well. So, well, anyway. So the Riverhounds, of course, won their match against us in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
1-0. It was a very defensive match.
Yep.
Yeah. And they're a very defensive squad.
Yeah.
So,
Lily Ball.
What I'm wondering here is what kind of rotation they're going to have here this week. Are they going to put their big guy, put their big guns out against us because we're a more winnable game, or are they going to try and take it to New York?
We're more unpredictable because between game to game, you never know what that lineup looks like. At the beginning of the season, it was very obvious we were going to do a 4-3-2-1, and we were going to play it. We were going to play the counter game.
God right. bless the pine tree.
Now that lineup has changed like week to week. With different players rotating in.
Tommy McCabe didn't come back from Cincinnati. Marius Lomas is out with an injury.
Yep.
And but we've Comcia's had various back. Injuries as well.
Yeah, Comcia is back. We spent a lot of this time without Comcia. We played three at the back once.
Yeah, I mean.
With Victor McCoy.
Yeah. okay. I still think we're the more unpredictable team, so they're going to go for those points, I think, against Red Bull and try to maintain against us. That's just my opinion. So you may see some of like their bench get a little bit more action for our game, and while they try to push for those 3 points against Red Bulls, because we just saw Pittsburgh, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're a little bit more familiar with them, like, in their current form. So I think we can plan for that a little bit more. And they kind of know that, too. So that's why I think they kind of, like, shake it up a little bit and go for it with the Baby Bulls.
And we'll probably see something very similar to the lineup we saw in Memphis.
I would like one change. I'd like to see Manny Perez back in the lineup.
Well, the question is Manny Perez match fit?
He looked match fit for our last home game.
He played 45 minutes and then got subbed off.
He still looked pretty good, I thought.
That's fair.
There's no way to get match fit until you play a full 90 minutes. Like, so you've got to get those games in. I would love to see him run amok versus Pittsburgh.
I'm curious to see if Stephen Miller starts this one as well, because he hasn't played a whole lot of minutes lately either.
Yeah, he's been rotated out and letting Chester fill in that spot that he's been at.
But you kind of need – I think you need Miller for this game. Miller is a mainstay right now. He's playing great.
I kind of want to see what the new signing, Justin.
Yeah,
Rennix. Yeah,
yeah, I'm with Zach here with Rennix. Play Rennix on the wing. Keep Spies inside. Spies at the 10 is a great addition to this team.
Yeah, no. For never, ever play Spies out wide again. I thought
Rennix was more of a forward than a winger.
He's a forward.
Yeah. He is a forward, but when he came in, they played him out on the right wing. I mean, as a forward, but on the right wing spot.
Yeah. Because Iwola was still in at that point.
Well, it'd be kind of a logjam then out on that right wing, isn't there? I mean, if you've got Manny Perez, you've got Stephen Miller. Yes, I know he can play left and right, but he can play right as well. And then Rennix. Well, it's going to be an interesting lineup.
We can play two forwards. Did you know that?
Really?
Whoa.
Make it true.
Hold on.
Thing.
Ebony, what is this technology?
I'm not complaining because we're actually scoring a lot of goals with one forward, so I'm not complaining about the one forward lineup.
Yeah, no, I mean, but to have the options to put two forwards on the field at the same time is magical.
So I would like to see Justin start in where Iwola has been starting in the top forward position. I want to see what he's going to bring to the table, because if we're going to be looking at a playoff push, he's going to need starting minutes.
Yeah.
And he's got to get him somewhere. And it may not be against the Riverhounds, but I think soon we got to get him in a starting position and see just what he can provide for that first 45. Because we know what we have in Christo. We know what we have in Iwolo. It's a lot of speed, not a lot of great finishing.
Are we calling Dre a forward?
And some good flashes. No, Dre kind of plays backwards speed. He's a midfielder. He's an attacking mid.
We're going to call him that. Okay.
And so we know what we have in Willow and Cresto, and so we just really need to see what we have in Justin before the back at the final half of this final portion of the season, and then going into the playoffs, because he may need to start.
Yeah, I can see that. I honestly would like to see a little more Cresto. He hasn't shown up a lot recently.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him get rotated back in. All right, so weekend.
Yep.
It's hard to beat the same team twice.
Yes.
I'm feeling 1-1.
Well, they beat us, so I'm hoping for a 1-0 win for us.
I'm setting 1-1.
I have a feeling this one's going to end 0-0. I would prefer it to end 1-0 to the Dead Whales, of course, but I have a feeling this one might end without a goal.
It just feels like it's going to be a gritty match.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll say 2-1. 2-1 Dead Whales. I won't waver. 2-1 Dead Wells.
All right.
Okay. I'll stick with 0-0 on this one.
So that's this Saturday at Wait Med Soccer Park. A nice little men's game sandwiched in between two ICC games, because, of course, all the soccer.
Four ICC games.
All the soccer. Let's go, guys.
Let's go. Can't wait.
Let's do it.
Three goals down. Three goals to go. We'll talk about those next. You're listening to 6-Point Weekend.
It's restaurant week here in downtown Raleigh, and because London Bridge has finally opened their kitchen, they are able to participate in this wonderful occasion. So shout out to Lauren, Mike, Darren, and the entire London Bridge crew. Stop by if you're able to. The shepherd's pie and the sticky toffee pudding is out of this world. Congratulations, guys. See you there.
Episode 60 of 6-Point Weekend. Dynamo here. Ebony.
Hi.
Dave.
What's up?
Zach.
Hi.
Talked about three goals at Memphis. Now we go.
That got us points.
Yeah, that got us points. Now we go to Portland. Huh. That's a place. Interesting formation. Like, is that the first time we played a box midfield this year?
No, we've been playing a box midfield for a good portion of this season, actually.
Yeah.
It was very weird, and the game was very weird. Crystal Dunn is a forward, sometimes a midfielder, who scores goals.
Correct.
She scored the opener.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic.
It was a very nice play from Kristen Hamilton coming down the side, and who was it? I believe it was Lynn Williams that set up that goal.
It was actually Hinkle. Hinkle crossed it in to Dabinia. Dabinia.
Oh, it was Dabinia who set up the goal for Crystal? Oh, okay. Excellent.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Because Hinkle was, killing it down the side. It was a little, because, I could hear the boos on TV. If you
every
could.
Time.
Yeah.
Every time.
So, but a great shot from Crystal to put us up 1-0. And then things got weird.
We played
really weird.
We played Courage versus Courage, and Courage won. Or Courage lost. I don't.
First off, let's ask this. How the fuck did Caitlin Ford stay on that pitch?
That was a really good question. And I was actually texting a friend from Portland who was at the game. And I literally was like, she should not still be on the field. He goes, it was like a tangle up, but it wasn't anything malicious.
Tangle up my ass.
I was like, dude, in my biased opinion, she should be off the field.
Who was it that she fouled? She got up and well, was first just looking
she,
at the ref.
First, she pulled the jersey on Kemper. Sam Mewis,
yes.
Which got her the yellow card.
Yeah.
And then about a minute later, she comes and grabs Abby Dahlkemper by the shoulder and drags her down. And somehow that was not a yellow card.
Yeah, baffling. Just absolutely baffling. There's no way that she just shouldn't have been on the field. It should have been a second yellow and then...
I don't care how close they are together. Yeah, that's a yellow through and through.
Even you just got talked to.
Yeah.
When even Portland fans are saying, girl, chill, you know that was a bad foul.
Yeah, she had no chill. Like, Dahlkemper was like, fam.
But she got up and looked at the ref like, what you doing?
Are you going to do anything? Like, a thing.
Just one singular thing. I just
it's
need you to do it.
As if Allie Krieger might have had a point about these NWSL refs.
See, that game's a little different. We can talk about it after we talk about the Courage
game.
Right,
yeah. But let's get to the rest of this Courage match. I think the big difference came in halftime. Haley Rasso came on for Caitlin Ford, so lucky Thorns there. They still had 11 on the pitch. And then Midge Purse came in. Midge Purse, of course, scored a goal for Portland at Wake Med Soccer Park against the Courage in the 1-1 draw there. And then bad things started to happen.
Like, both goals for Portland were just, like, pinball deflections. Like, the Bay save. The Bay sees the ball bounce off a defender and into the net.
It bounced off her hand and into the net.
Yeah, the first one off her hands. Yeah.
The first one bounced off of her hand. That was in the 55th minute. And Sam Mewis tried to make a dive at it, but she didn't have a chance. It was already in before it was done. And at that point, it was 1-1. Lynn Williams. Lynn, I love you, but damn.
Girl.
You gotta convert those.
It was that, and then Jess had an open volley that, yeah. if a few degrees lower, it probably hits the net. It's just
probably if she beats.
There was nobody in front of her.
She would. Oh my god! I don't even.
There was no one in front of Lynn Williams, and she just shot that thing wide. And then there was another opportunity right after that, which she.
Oh, Crystal Dunn had one stonewalled.
True. Adriana French had a great game.
She
stood on her head. It was.
The fact that Lynn Williams had a second opportunity just a minute later and just shot it right at Adriana French.
My hands were in the perpetual, like, fam. Perpetual. Woo. Fam. What's happening right now? We are scoring all the goals in the wrong nets, and I'm not understanding.
It was just a weird game.
The last goal, of course, in the 81st minute, Haley Rasso had a shot that was blocked. Unfortunately, it was blocked right into Abby Ersig's stomach, and it bounced right into the net after that. So, on the bright side, Portland didn't score against us.
That's accurate.
Like, it's accurate. There's not much else you can say. Yeah. It's just we made two very, very bad mistakes.
This is the
in the back.
This is the literal podcast version of laughing to keep from crying.
Yeah.
I couldn't form words to figure out what was happening. Because even the Portland bench was like, how did that just go in? There's no way it should have.
We had so many chances in the second half. Like, attacking play looked really good. I mean, as you mentioned, French was really good as well.
Yeah, and this was the closest of Courage of last year that I feel like we've seen. That second half, other than the obvious mistakes, but like as far as the attacking and then togetherness of the team, it felt right. The game was just weird.
I think when you say it that way, that actually bodes well for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Because if this team is coming together at the right time, not only do they still have a chance of winning yet another NWSL Shield, but or at least getting a home playoff game, because they're only a point out of a home playoff game and only 2 points out of the title race.
Right.
Right now. If you look at the table...
It's right not now, dire.
No, it's not a dire situation. We are still very much in the hunt to win another NWSL title. You look at the table right now, Portland's played 17 games. They have 30 points. Chicago has played 16 games, and they have 29 points. The Courage have played 16 games. They are on 28 points. Our friends up in Tacoma, Reign FC, have played 16 games. They're on 26 points. And Utah Royals, also on 16 games, also on 24 points. And they got three very key points over the weekend against Tacoma.
Yes.
So that was...
that was good for us and good for them.
Good for us and good for them. Keeps Utah's playoff hopes alive.
And it kept Reign from jumping above us into fourth.
Yes.
So I was happy with that result.
So Houston behind them, 17 games, 22 points. Washington, 15 games and 21 points.
And
so
we don't even have to talk about those. They're
not. Washington's not quite out of it yet.
Sky Blue is 2 points behind Orlando.
And yeah. Sky Blue and Orlando are pretty much
for the wooden spoon
out of it.
Yeah.
And, of course, shout out to friend of the pod, Julie King, who was recently signed by Orlando.
Because they needed help in defense.
Because they needed help defensively. Yeah. And in her first game back, she
got
sent off.
Yeah. Super quick. She played 65 minutes before being ejected. Marta went a little bit longer. Marta played, 85 minutes before getting ejected? Marta was just like, you know what? My favorite show's about to start. I'll take that early shower. It's cool. Whatever.
Yeah, she'll take that early shower and beat the crap out of someone in the process.
Yeah.
Basically shoved two Houston players to the ground during the process of Houston getting ready to take a penalty.
Yeah. Went full Alex Martinez.
Oh, yes.
That was the first.
You'll hate to see
Marta
it.
Smash.
They said that was the first double red match in NWSL history, right?
Yeah, it has to be. I believe so. Marta was the first player to get a red card last season. That was towards the end of the season. And then Orlando State winning, I guess. If that's where we're going to go with it, let's try it.
So, interesting stat from Neil Morris. All four of the Courage's losses are to Chicago, Portland, and Tacoma.
Okay.
The three other NWSL playoff teams as of today.
Yeah.
And all but one of the eight wins are against the other five teams in the league. The one win being against Reign FC.
Well, I mean, that's half of the adage of, you know, beating the teams you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Just half of that.
And then be competitive with the teams you need to be competitive with.
Exactly. I mean, we're still in third. We're 2 points ahead of fourth. We're 2 points off of the league title. I don't know. This is one of the things that I love about the NWSL is that it's very competitive towards the top. And then, like, if you just go and draw a match out of the hat, there's a good chance that you'll see at least three goals scored.
Yes.
All the ESPN games, by the way, have been very entertaining games.
Yes.
And you know what? Shout out to Portland for the 25K. Attendance record from this weekend. Very, very good showing. You guys opened up the top deck and you sold out and it looked amazing on TV.
Yes,
so shout out to them.
Yes, it did. Credit to the Portland fans for
that. But I hope your team loses every other game this season.
Agreed. But no shade, all love. Providence Park at the new stand looks amazing. It looks really, really nice.
Sure.
The new three-tier stand that they just put up. It looks pretty nice.
Sure. I hope their teams lose every game for the rest of the season.
Of course. They just have a good place that looks that nice.
Yeah. I mean, it can look amazing on TV. Just lose every game for the rest of the season.
That's all we ask.
That's all I ask.
We don't ask much, friend. We don't ask for much.
They don't ask for much. So this is usually the part where we do predictions. Coming up.
Let's actually talk about the games we're going to play. We're actually taking a break from the NWSL this weekend, and we are playing in the Women's International Champions Cup.
Yeah.
Which is happening right here this year at Wake Met Soccer Park.
Exciting.
At Salem Stadium at Wake Met Soccer Park.
Trademark.
There we go.
So our first opponent on Thursday, Manchester City.
Boo.
That's the Manchester United fan over there. I fully, by the way, Ebony, I fully expect you to come to that game dressed in red.
I will probably.
Dressed in red, devil red.
No, my new jersey hasn't come in yet.
Oh.
I bought a new Manchester women jersey, and it still has not shipped yet.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
So a lot of players to watch, especially England players who played started for the England national team in the World Cup.
So they're going to be used to seeing Sammy's back when she runs past them.
Yes, indeed. Well, Karen Bardsley will be seeing Sammy shoot at her.
Yeah.
Our the goalkeeper. Steph Houghton is the captain for Manchester City. Demi Stokes also in the back line. One to watch. In midfield, Kira Walsh, who didn't play too much at the World Cup, but she's played a lot for Man City. A definite young up-and-comer for the England national team and for Man City. She'll be one to watch, as well as England veteran Jill Scott.
Forgot she was even still playing soccer.
Who will be taking a long walk around the park after dark.
God, I hate so much.
As far as forwards go, Georgia Stanway, another young up-and-comer on the England national team, who is scoring quite a bit for City these days, as well as Lauren Hemp. Georgia Stanway, 20 years old. Lauren Hemp, 19. So these are players we'll be hearing from again in the coming years. Oh, and say hello to Canadian international Janine Becky.
Hey!
Sister of former Railhawk Drew Becky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Forgot all about Drew Becky.
Yep.
It wasn't on purpose, I swear.
So Janine Becky will be there. And the uproar, of course, will be there in the supporter stand. We're still working out all the details. We'll have more details on our Facebook group and on Twitter, Uproar NC. So please keep an eye out for that.
I am honestly looking forward to seeing OL take the field.
Oh, yeah.
With Lucy Bronze, Wendy Renard, Eugenie Le Sommer.
I saw them today because I went to the ICC event thing. That was weird because they literally came. They saw, like, they got introduced. They took a picture in front of the mirror, the mural, signed like a couple autographs, and it dipped. And I was like,
dipped out so fast.
I was like, oh, well, good to see you.
Their car was parked in a no parking zone, and it wasn't long. I mean, there was no time for the city officials to come through and give them a ticket or ask them to move. They were gone so quick.
Double parked.
Well, because I understand why Man City left early, because they were supposed to be having practice at NC State. So they took their picture in front of the mural and then were like, dip.
We're talking about practice, man.
Not a game.
Not a game. We're talking practice.
And Leon was at UNC, yes. So they all dipped, but then the weather made them cancel it, so it was just like, well, so much for that.
Should have stayed for the whole other 30 minutes that everybody was there.
Yeah. Whatevs. We'll see them. We'll see them Thursday. Yeah. We'll see them Thursday.
So if you have tickets, they get you into both matches. So it's Lyon against Atletico Madrid at 5.
Yes.
And then the Courage against Manchester City at 7:30.
Yep.
Same match schedule for Sunday.
And the third place game will be at 5 o'clock, and then the championship game will be at 7:30.
Correct.
I am stoked for this. I cannot wait.
I'm very I'm excited because, you know, it's there's international players that you would not normally see unless you went to, like, a World Cup. So
which you did.
Yes, that wasn't the point of that, like, statement. It wasn't, like, but yes. It's very hard to see them unless you travel, like, across the pond to watch a couple of their, like, league games. So I'm very excited to see them here in my own home stadium.
And these are heavyweights. Yeah. I mean, Man City won the FA Women's Cup last year.
Yep.
Finished second in the FA Women's Super League. And they've got a ton of England players on that squad.
Olympic Lyonnais cannot stop winning.
True.
So
they're still European champions, I believe.
Yes, they are.
So I'm very excited to see them in person. I'm also really excited for their deal with ESPN. And that the games are going to be on ESPN Plus, ESPN News, and ESPN 2.
Yes. That's dope. Like,
compared to last year of where we were Facebook live videoing the game to be able to watch it and until the championship game was the only one that was actually streamable. Big upgrade. Wonderful. Fantastic.
Yeah, ESPN Plus is, like, the platform right now for soccer fans, and I'm so excited that there's that option out there. So even if you don't want to pay the $5 a month, it's still a 7-day free trial. Games are only on for 4 days. Watch the soccer, cancel the subscription, whatever. But it's the hotbed for soccer right now.
And we're going to have the replays for these ICC games.
Yes.
Because they're on ESPN Plus. It means you can go back and watch them if you miss them, or if you're at the game and you want to go back and watch it. Like, that's a big plus over the streaming that we've had before.
I can't wait to be there for these games and really rewatch these games, because it's going to be perfect. Like, I'm excited. I will support this however I can. So
these are two heavyweights going up on Thursday.
Four.
The Courage. Four heavyweights. But I'm just specifically the Courage versus Manchester City.
Yes.
What do y'all think?
Ooh.
3-0 Courage. Let's go.
I'm with you there.
Yeah, I'm going to stick to the standard 2-1.
Yeah, I'm going to 1-2 or 4. 4-0. Let's go. Cool. 4-0. I'll go 4-0.
I will say that Dabinha probably scores.
Yes.
Dabinha scores.
That's fair. That's fair.
I'm going to say Crystal Dunn scores, because Crystal Dunn is
a forward who scores goals.
Yes.
So I think we'll see a Crystal Dunn goal in this. I am going to say 3-1 Courage.
Okay, I was kidding about the 4-0. It's definitely going to be 1-0 Courage, and they're just going to bunker. But whatever.
I think the safe... Like Jonathan said, I think 2-1 will be the actual scoreline, but I'm going to go with 3-0 because I want it to happen, and I'm going to will it into existence.
All right. I cannot wait for this.
Like, I'll pray for 4-0, but I won't be sad when it's 1-0. So there we go. So then we'll be playing in the championship game on Sunday at 7:30. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I really want a rematch against Lyon.
That'd be so much fun.
That would be amazing. A rematch against Lyon on our turf.
Yes.
After what happened last year, they were basically playing on a neutral field in Miami, and very few people were there.
It was neutral because no one was there.
Yeah, it'll be significantly louder, I believe, this weekend. Look forward to that.
Yes.
I'm excited for both of these games.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally a club world championship when you think about it.
Yeah, basically.
Yep.
So we did get questions this week for Ask6PW, brought to you by London Bridge Pub, who is now participating in Restaurant Week, and by Tasty Beverage Company, where they are allowing us to record this week because London Bridge is participating in Restaurant Week. So shout out to London, shout out to Tasty for letting us borrow their office and for still liking us for taking over for an hour and a half each week. Thanks, guys. So first question, Scott on Twitter asks, talking with Neil Morris while watching the game Sunday, and he mentioned that the Courage schedule gets significantly easier soon enough. What's a reasonable expectation for how many points they take, and what do you think they need to get to in order to finish top two?
Okay, let's take a look at this Courage schedule. Mm-hmm. It does get a little bit easier.
There's a Houston game.
We'll take it from the top. Home to Tacoma, away to Sky Blue.
Okay.
Away to Portland.
Okay. No, that's not.
Home to Orlando.
That's a win.
Home to Houston.
That's a win.
Away to Utah. Away to Washington.
That's a win.
Home to Sky Blue.
That's a win. So I just named 6 wins.
Yeah, so that's 18 points. That'll put us up to 40. There's a maximum of 24 points that are left that gets us to 52. Portland's on 30. I think of 24 points remaining, hopefully we get 10 at the very least. I really think that...
Damn, that's a lot of losses, son.
Well, I'm just saying at the very least. But I'm just saying that...
I don't think 10's going to get it done if we want to get a home playoff game.
No, but for a home playoff game. But I'm talking about for like a league title. I think league title's probably going to be hovering somewhere around 45, 46 points.
We've got to beat those bottom four teams. That's the only thing. So those bottom four teams, we've got to get 3 points.
Of course.
3 points or we failed.
Of course.
I think this Reign FC game is going to be a pretty crucial one, too.
It will be. I absolutely agree with that.
So that's one that we've already beaten Reign FC once.
Yeah, but we still have not played Pino.
No.
So
we have to see if Merritt Mathias can do to Pino what Taylor Smith did to Pino 2 years ago.
Oh. Oh, damn.
You have to admit, that was one of the best defensive performances that I think I've ever seen for the Courage.
Merritt's hacking down Tobin, like, every other play. So if she can do it to Tobin, she'll damn sure do it to Pino.
We'll see.
Let's go. Like, I'm down for it.
Yeah, but if when she's hacking down Tobin, I don't feel bad about it.
No, that's fair.
So back to the question, what's the over-under?
What he didn't really set one.
I know, but like for... I think it's easiest for this conversation.
Yeah, I really think it's at 45, which is at 17 points. So 17 points out of 24 remaining.
So the over-under for the season is 45. I think we go over.
If we're doing for 45, I think we're under.
Well, it's at 45 for a league title.
Yeah, I think we're under. I don't think we get the league title.
So I'd say 45 for a league title, probably somewhere between 40, 42 for second place.
Yeah. I think a lot of this depends on what we do in Portland on September 11th, which is a Wednesday night game.
Oof.
And that's going to be a tough one, but we have won there before, and
we won there this weekend. We scored three
goals there this weekend. Let's not rehash that.
Let's not do that again.
But if we can do what we did in Portland on Sunday without the mistakes,
okay,
then that game could end up deciding the title.
Yeah.
Really could.
Yeah.
I said that about this Sunday's game. I said whoever wins this game wins the league, but not the championship.
I think it's that and the rain game.
Yeah.
Are the two big highlight marks, and possibly the Utah game,
which is going to make Sky Blue maybe a bit of a trap game. Got to watch out for that one, because they can spring upsets. They almost sprung an upset on us.
Yeah.
You could say they did spring an upset on us when they got a draw in our house.
Yeah, so. But that was after rain, and Matthias had to do some acrobats to save that one.
Yes.
Off the line.
So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it'll probably take about 17 points.
I forgot where we were going for second place, not for just first. So,
five wins and two draws will get us to 45.
Yeah, so I think we take the under.
Okay.
For at least for second place. If we want first place, we've got to take the over on the 45.
Right.
So, yeah. Second question. Alex on Twitter asks, NCFC has two games in a five-day span. Would you put the A lineup of the two out against Pittsburgh or Tampa Bay? It feels like we're finally getting healthy enough to get a good rotation between the two games and allow some guys to rest.
Yes.
That did not answer the question.
Next question.
I don't think we're going to see a huge amount of rotation in these next two games. I expect
Where do
that
you see the most rotation happening in between the two games?
Pittsburgh.
We line up stronger against Pittsburgh?
No, line up stronger against Tampa.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if you had to choose there, definitely. But I also think you can, you know, horses for courses. You might find there are better players to go up against Pittsburgh that don't necessarily have to start against Tampa. So it's just a matter of finding the right rotation. And I think in terms of talent, you know, the players that are on the bench are fairly evenly balanced. They just have different skill sets. You know, Yamakani Chester is faster. Manny Perez is faster. Steven Miller's more steady. So,
just looking at it coming from the standings, if we're playing the team lower than us, right, like standing right below us, if we end up with a draw, they're still chasing us, and we're just kind of moving. We're just moving, kicking the ball down the road a little bit, and if we can come out with a not our A formation against Pittsburgh and walk away with a draw, I think that's good. A win would be obviously better. But we're chasing Tampa, and if we're realistically pushing for a playoff spot, a home playoff spot, or realistically going after the title, we need our A team versus Tampa, because that is a game that we need to win if we're realistically wanting to chase the title.
Which is why I suspect we might see a lot more of Justin Renix this weekend.
Yes.
So that's something to keep an eye out
for. But we talked about matchups. We've seen recently that you were talking about Miller and their skill sets. Miller and Yamakani have been playing fantastic together. So do you break up that partnership and say Yamakani go out against Pittsburgh, Miller go out against Tampa Bay, or do you consider that your a quote-unquote A team partnership right now and send them both out against Tampa Bay and say, let's get some of these other guys out there against Pittsburgh and prove yourself.
I mean, honestly, I mean, yeah, this team does have 18 partnerships as we look at Comcie on Brotherton. but honestly, with the amount of rotation that this team has had to do due to injuries, like with the injury for Comcie, injury for Perez, and just shuffling everybody about, I think that given the amount of time that people have rotated through, there has to be a lot of cohesion in there. Plus, we're late into the second half of the season. Honestly, I don't think there, like, there is an A team, but I mean, like, the next team is maybe like an A minus, given the way that they've had the time to play together and the results that we've had with those players on the field.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm good with that. I hope Alex is good with that. Seth on Twitter asks, I noticed some teams choose to attack the goal at the supporters end in the first half as opposed to the second, like NCFC. Do you think we should give that a try?
We've done it a couple of times and it was weird. I did not like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't like it.
I don't like it.
Hard pass.
Not a fan.
I like to be able to pump them up in that second half when they're getting just a little bit tired and they see us going hard and we can push them to score.
Also, when they score, they celebrate and they're on. They're over by us.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they can celebrate with us.
We get the emotion goals. We get to throw streamers. I love attacking.
What's stopping us from throwing streamers in the first half if they score on our end?
Tembakis.
Well, no. If the
we're not throwing attacking. It at the field. That's fair.
It is. Yeah. If we're throwing streamers at in the first half, then they're just kind of sitting
more,
there.
And yeah. It's more fun. In the
No. He's saying NCFC should attack towards us the first half.
Yeah, but I mean, yes, we can throw streamers in the first half, but it's just not as fun.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And really, our fun is what really matters.
Yeah, of course. If you're not having fun, what's the point? Yeah.
That's fair.
South Stand party.
If we're not having a party, let's just go home. No parallel, no party. And our last question is from, I hope I don't butcher this for you, Isidrio on Twitter. Where would you like to see the Austin DeLuz statue when the new stadium is built? Right out front. Put him right there.
Talk about a man who would hate that. He would never want that.
Which is why we have to build it.
Just, you know where it should be? It should be in the supporter stand. Like, right next to it, like, where you walk in. Yeah. Right there.
Oh, man.
That'd be super dope.
The Austin DeLuz stand.
Yeah. Ooh.
Fund it.
He doesn't need a statue. Just name the stand after him.
Yeah.
Fund it.
Yeah. Make it happen, Mr. Malik.
Malik, I know you're listening. Make it so, sir.
Like Saunders Street stand? No.
No.
DeLuz stand.
There we go. Speaking of the stadium, I believe there's a vote happening soon.
Soon.
Very soon.
Very, very soon, I believe.
Next week soon.
Oh, like soon, soon. Like
7 days from recording, like, right now soon. Like,
yeah.
we big soon, not little soon.
We real big soon. We real little soon. S soon.
That's fair. For all the people that called, emailed your representatives, thank you. This is kind of what it's all leading up to. So... just wanted to throw that out there, that there's a vote happening soon, and we'll see what happens.
Visit downtownsouth.com.
Yes.
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 Do it.
It's still very green. I would like construction. up the green, because grass and trees are important. But in this space of land, I would like green surrounded by seats.
I don't know how else to end this podcast, but with that sentence.
I've got nothing.
I got nothing.
I got nothing either.
Up
let's
the
just
green.
Call it a show. Up the greens.
Oh, God. We're brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company, where they so graciously let us record tonight. Hashtag kiss the 10 always. Right here in downtown Raleigh. Thank you guys so much for letting us do this every week. We're also brought to you by London Bridge Pub, who are in the middle of restaurant week, so congrats to them. We're still a part of the Beautiful Game Network, BGN.FM, and still friends of the pod on Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Hashtag SNST fam.
Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. If you like what you hear, if you like what we do, there's a donate button on our website, oakcitysupporters.com/podcast. Leave a review wherever you can. There's no real platform to do that, though, because Spotify doesn't do that, which we are on, and Google Podcasts doesn't do that, which we are on. I think that's it.
That's all the things. Come hang out with us, South Stand, this week.
For ICC and for Dead Whales. It's going to be it's a lot of soccer, but it's going to be a good soccer time.
So we got games Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At Wakeman Soccer Park.
Dope.
5 matches.
4 days.
3 days.
No, it's 4 days.
Thursday, Saturday.
Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday.
But there's a
day.
There's
a day in between. Friday. Friday.
There's a day in between. 5 matches in
4 days. Friday still exists.
4 days, 3 match days.
Goodbye.
Let's just call it a show, shall we?
Peace.
See ya.
Bye.